Masechet Baba Mesiyah Daf Nun Dalid. The topic today is about how to calculate the 1/5 additional payment when you take maaser, sheni, produce, and other things that you redeem onto money. The owner has to add a fifth. How do you calculate it? There's two ways. Is it from the inside or from the outside? Meaning, if you have something that's worth $100 of fruit and you're going to redeem it, so you need certainly $100 of coins, and now the 1/5, if you calculate from the inside, then that's the normal way, as we say today, 1/5, that would be 20%. So you'd add another 20, you'd have to pay 120 altogether. But if you calculate from the outside, that means you're calculating from the final result of what you pay, a fifth of that has to be the additional payment. So if it was 100, then you have to add 25 for a total of 125. That's the outside. If you take 125, a fifth of that is in fact 25. So that ends up being a quarter in the way that we would usually talk about it. So that's the question. Is it a fifth or a quarter? A fifth from the original amount, or is it a fifth of the final amount? Amaravina Tashima. Habalim omerim ba'asim v'chol adam ba'asim. Habalim kodmin v'pnei shemosifin homesh. We're going to prove it from the following baraita. It says that if someone owns a field and they donate the field to the Beit HaMikdash, they make it hikdash. However, they have a chance to redeem it back. Okay, now when they redeem it, they can't just do it for any price. The temple treasury, it will make an auction, a public auction, so that they can make sure to get the best and fair price. So they're all bidding on it. The original owner says 20, and another person also says 20. Well, the original owner gets it, not only because it was his and he has an attachment to that land, it was his own ancestral land, but also because if when the owner redeems it, he has to add 1/5. Whereas when someone else redeems it, they only have to pay the market price. They do not have to add a fifth. So therefore, the owner gets it because he's going to have to add a fifth, which would mean now it's worth 20. So a fifth of that either is going to be 24 or 25. We haven't decided yet, but we're going to see. What if one of the other bidders says 21, while the owner says only 20? So you might think, give it to the other, but you have to give it to the highest bidder, right? Wouldn't that be the 21? But it's not so, because the owner, even if he only says 20, is going to end up having to pay at least 24 or 25. So the answer is, habalim notnim 20 v'shesh. The owner gives 26. Now, how'd you get 26? It's as follows. He bid 20. Now, within that 20, part of that is going to be the fifth, and we see here that that's five of it. So we're going by a quarter from the outside. All right, it's a quarter, meaning a fifth from the outside, which ends up being a quarter of the total amount. A quarter of 20 is 5. So he has to, in fact, add 5 because he bid 20, and so he's going to have to add 5. That's the 25. He has to add another 1 to match the highest bidder. So we kind of force him. It sounds a little bit unfair, but that's the way it is. Even though he only said, I'll bid 20, he knows he's going to have to add 5 more. Someone else bids 21, so the temple treasury says, well, the highest bidder is the owner, but we can't give it to you because you only said 20 and someone else said 21. So we have to up your own bid to 21. But we're not going to penalize you and make you pay a fifth of the one that you just got upped. So therefore, he has to pay 20 was his original bid. He has to pay that. He has to pay the one fifth on that 20, which is another 5, and he has to pay another 1 to as a basic bid to match the highest bidder. So he ends up paying 26, and we give it to him. So too, if the original owner bid 20, someone else bids 22, so the original owner has to add 2 to match. But since he actually only bid 20, he only has to pay a fifth on the 20, which is another 5. That's how he gets 27. If someone else bids 23, then the original owner bid 20, He has to add 3 to match the 23, plus, again, another 5 for the origin, a fifth of the original 20 bid that he gave. If someone else bids 24, so then the owner has to give 29, which is the 20, plus the fifth is 25, plus another 4 to match the guy who bid 24. And it continues till here. Even if someone else bids 25 and the guy bid 20, but that means he's going to give 25 with the additional fifth. So he has to give another 5 to match the highest bidder, plus another 5 as a fifth for the original 20 that he in fact bid. But again, he does not have to give a fifth on the added surcharge that we're imposing on him. Here's the principle: we do not add a fifth on the added amount, the extra amount that we raised, so that he can match the highest bidder. Well, anyway, what do we see from all this? We have a proof from this baraita that we calculate from the outside, meaning it's a fifth of the total amount, which is a same as a quarter of the original amount. Ketana'e. Now, even though we have a baraita that proves that's milibar, actually it's a machloket tana'im, and this baraita is only one opinion of two. Ve'yasaf chamishito alav shehehu v'chumsho chamisha. Dibre Rabbi Yoshiya, Rabbi Yonatan omer chamishito chumsho shel keren. And this pasuk all the way at the end of Vayikra, it's talking here about a firstborn animal which is born holy. So if it's a kosher animal like a shod and a seh, then you can't make it hekdesh. There's no need to make it hekdesh. You just give it to the kohen, and the kohen is going to sacrifice part of it and he eats part of it. However, if it's a non-kosher animal, then it has to be redeemed. And Sefer Shemot talks about a donkey in chapter 13, Kadesh Likol Bechor. A donkey that's born has Kiddushat Bechor, and you have to redeem it with a seh. Here, the presentation is a bit different. It sounds like all non-kosher animals, and it says you can redeem it with money. Okay, however you reconcile the pesukim in Shemot and Vayikra, the point here is that it says ve'yasaf chamishito alav, you add the fifth upon it. So what does that mean, upon it? Two interpretations. Rabbi Yoshiya says it and the fifth adds up to a total of 5 parts. So in other words, if you have 100 and then you add the fifth, it's going to add up to 125, which is 5 equal parts of 25. So he's calculating from the outside, which ends up being a quarter from the inside. And Rabbi Yonatan said, no, chamishito means a fifth of the principal amount, which is just 20% of the original amount for a total of 120. So we see actually there's a machloket tanaim, and the previous baraita happens just to follow one of the tanaim. Ibaya lehu, chomesh me'akev or eno me'akev. New question, that fifth surcharge, does that prevent the ability to use the principal amount? If I have, let's say, ma'aser sheni, fruit, and now I redeemed it, but I didn't yet add a fifth. So I had $100 worth of fruit, and I redeem it on $100 of coins. So now it's redeemed. Can I eat the fruit? And I owe the fifth later. Or I haven't done a redemption until I also do the whole entire 125 amount. Arba barba parik ve'a kenafshe mosif chomesh. Alma chomesh lo me'akev. Odilma arba b'chamisha parik v'chomesh me'akev. Here's the two ways to think about it. Let's say you had 4 dinars worth of fruit. So do you say, I took the 4 dinars of fruit and I redeemed it for the 4 coins, and then it's up to the person himself to add the fifth, right? But the fruit is all redeemed, and then there's a personal monetary obligation to go and add another coin to give it to Hekdesh, to use it. And this is Maaseh Sheni, to use it to buy fruit in Jerusalem. And in that case, the fifth does not prevent consumption. The fruit is redeemed, but you just have to have a monetary obligation to do the rest. Once you redeem the Maaseh Sheni fruit, you can eat it where you are, outside of Jerusalem, right? So as long as you did the 4, that's fine. You can eat the fruit, but you have to add a fifth later. Or do we say that the 4 dinar worth of fruit is has to be redeemed on 5 dinar worth of money, right? That's the transaction rate. And so if you don't have five, if you don't have the surcharge, then the original produce was not yet redeemed and you're not allowed to eat it. That's the two sides. Let's learn it from a Mishnah in Masechet Demai, where it says that if you receive produce from, let's say, an Ama'aretz, on a Deoraita level, you can assume that he already took Terumah and Ma'aseh, you don't have to do it again. However, they're not so trustworthy. So Midrabanan, the rabbis say, listen, just in case the guy didn't do it, then you should take Terumah and Ma'aseh again. However, when you take Ma'aseh, let's say he gives you produce, it's a Ma'aseh Sheni year, so you have to remove Ma'aseh Sheni, but you do not have to add a fifth surcharge. And also, it's not subject to Bi'ur. Bi'ur means every 3 years during the Shemitah cycle, in the fourth and seventh year, on Pesach, we make an announcement. Everybody, if you still have any produce that you didn't take Terumah Ma'aseh yet, you have to do it now, right? You can't just wait forever and say, well, I'm just keeping it in storage, and I'm not. Certainly, you can't eat it until you take Terumah Ma'aseh. But before you eat it, can I just leave it in storage? No, there's a cutoff time, right? The Levi'im and the Kohanim deserve to get what's coming to them, and the poor people and the Ma'aseh Sheni, right? And therefore, there's a cutoff time. However, if it's Demai, since Midoraita, you can assume that the owner, Ama'aretz already did this on the Doraita level, so that's not subject to Bi'ud. You can just keep it in storage. Okay, HaKeren Yeshlo. So we see from here that there is a principal payment, right? Demai, you don't have to take the surcharge, but you do have to take, you have to redeem it, redeem the principal value. Why my tama? Why is there a difference between keden and the surcharge? Keden demakir bedoraita ita bedrabanan. Chomesh lamakir bedoraita leita bedrabanan. It must be that when you do redemption, it's only the principal amount that is required so that you can eat the Ma'aseh Sheni produce and not the surcharge, as we prove it from here. Since the principal amount you have to do on a Doraita level in order to eat the produce, so there the rabbi said, you know what, you got Demai from Ama'aretz, you can't eat it until you take until you redeem the principal amount, just in case. But the surcharge, since on the Doraita level, that's not required in order to eat the Ma'aseh Sheni produce, it's not Me'akev, so therefore the rabbis did not impose that one should have to add a surcharge when redeeming Ma'aseh Sheni, that's Demai, right? And that would make sense. If there's why would you make a distinction otherwise? Because you know, if it hasn't been redeemed, then you'd have to redeem the principal amount and the surcharge. Why would you make a distinction? You would make a distinction if, well, what's absolutely necessary in order for me to eat this produce without violating? Okay, redeem the principal. The surcharge is not absolutely necessary. It's still now, it's kosher fruit. There's a monetary obligation, but the monetary obligation, probably the guy already did it. So I won't be violating anything by eating the fruit as long as I did just the principal and not the surcharge. So that's a proof. Lema ketana'e. Now that's a proof for one way. Maybe this is actually a machloket tana'im. Natana takerem velo natana tachomesh. Rabbi Eliezer omer yochal, Rabbi Yoshua omer lo yochal. Amar Rabbi, nirin dibir Rabbi Eliezer b'shabbat, v'dibir Rabbi Yoshua b'chol. So this Baraita teaches that if someone redeemed the principal amount, but not the surcharge, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he can eat the produce, and it's redeemed. The surcharge is not necessary. And Rabbi Yoshua says, he cannot eat it. That the entire amount, the surcharge also has to be, you have to add the surcharge when you're doing redemption in order for the redemption to work at all. So that's a machloket. The Rabbi, however, makes a compromise position, and he says, I'll follow the Rabbi Eliezer and be more lenient on Shabbat. Because onik Shabbat, so now you have this produce, you know, what'd you do? Oh, you redeemed only the principal amount. I didn't add the surcharge yet. Okay, but Shabbat, and we want to have onik Shabbat and enjoy the produce. So you know what? We'll be lenient And you can't do it on Shabbat. You know, you can't do redemption of money on with money on Shabbat. So you know what? We'll follow Rabbi Eliezer so you can enjoy Shabbat. But if it's a weekday, then we should be machmir like it'd be Yehoshua and say you want to eat the produce. First, give the surcharge. So to be as a compromise position. Now, midamar need individual Rabbi Eliezer b'Shabbat mikelal de pligi afilu bechol. Midamar need individual Rabbi Yehoshua b'chol mikelal de pligi afilu b'Shabbat. From the B's words, I agreed with one in one case and one in the other case. Since he said, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer on Shabbat, it means that Rabbi Eliezer himself would disagree even during the weekday. And if he, since he said, I agree with Rabbi Yehoshua only on the weekday, it means Rabbi Yehoshua himself would argue even on Shabbat. So Rabbi is the one that makes a compromise, but Rabbi Eliezer would say, all week long, it's fine. And Rabbi Yehoshua would say, all week long, it's no good. So what's the reason for the machloket maila b'hasivara? Is it not that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that the surcharge does not prevent consumption? You have to give it monetarily, but the food is kosher. And Rabbi Yehoshua says that the extra surcharge is absolutely necessary, and you can't eat any unless you don't. That would fit and explain of their two positions. Amar ra papa la de kula machomish la makev hacha bechashina ne peshi ota kami palge morsabad chashina ne peshi ota morsabad la chashina ne peshi ota. Ra papa says not necessarily. I could explain the machloket otherwise. Could be that everybody agrees that the extra surcharge is not absolutely necessary in order to make the food kosher. You can eat the food as long as you do redemption on the principle. So what's the machloket? Whether someone's going to be negligent. Rabbi Yehoshua, who said don't eat it, he says once if you tell people they can eat the food, even though technically the letter of the law is that they can eat the fruit, but if you tell people they can eat the fruit, they're going to end up forgetting about the surcharge and they're never not going to give it. They're going to be negligent. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, he says no, people will not be negligent. They know this is an important matter. You're just making it easier because maybe he has the $100 around, but he doesn't have the extra $25 around. So give him a break. Let him eat the food and follow the letter of the law. And we can trust that the person will not be negligent. They'll make a note of it and they will give the surcharge when they have it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim Bekdesh Shechilel Hoil VeGizbarin Tobin Ota Bashuk. Rabbi Yochanan says that everybody agrees, all these opinions regarding Hekdesh. If I make something consecrated, not as a sacrifice, but as Bet HaKavayit, I'm going to donate something, a land or animal or whatever, then I can redeem it. And everybody agrees that you can redeem it and you can use it right away, even if you only redeemed the principal amount and didn't yet pay the surcharge. Why is this case different? Because since I donate to the Beit HaMikdash, there are temple treasurers and they know about this because, right, I gave them the principal amount. I said, here, oh, I owe you the surcharge. So they have it in their books and they're going to come collect it. They're not going to forget. They're going to keep billing me. They're going to keep coming over. So there's no chance I'm going to be negligent. Only with Ma'aseh Sheni I'm negligent, because Ma'aseh Sheni, I don't donate it to the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash does not get a penny of it. Ma'aseh Sheni, I keep the money. I just have to bring it to Jerusalem and I spend it on food in Jerusalem and have a wonderful celebration whenever I go there. So therefore, we are worried that someone will be negligent for Maaseh Sheni, but there's no worry regarding Hekdesh that's donated to the Beit HaMikdash. Ube Hekdesh la Peligi. Now, is that true that regarding something donated to Beit HaMikdash, there's no machloket? Look at this paraita, v'hatanya. Natana tekenem v'lo natanta lo atachomesh. Rabbi Eliezer omed chilel. Hachamim omrim lo chilel. Amar Rabbi Nirin debre Rabbi Eliezer behekdesh debre hachamim b'maaser. Paraita says if someone is redeeming something that was Hekdesh, that he made Hekdesh, and he gave the principal amount, he redeemed the principal, gave that to the temple, but he did not yet give the surcharge. Rabbi Eliezer says, the original item, let's say the animal, or that is hol, and I can use the animal, it's not Hekdesh anymore. I have to owe the surcharge, I have to pay it later. Hachamim say, no, the original item is not redeemed, it's still holy. And Rabbi says, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer regarding Hekdesh, and I agree with Chachamim regarding Ma'aser. Actually, the Braita doesn't mention if this is Hekdesh or Ma'aser. It sounds like the Machloket is in all cases. And then the B says, listen, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer regarding Hekdesh because seemingly, right, that would make sense that the temple treasurer will come and collect it. And so I don't have to worry about it. But I'm agreeing with Chachamim because and regarding Maaser, because Maaser Sheni, the temple treasurer, is not going to come and collect it. So we analyze the B's words. Midamar nidin debre Rabbi Eliezer Bekdesh, miklad de paliga filu be Maaser. Midakamar nidin debre Chachamim be Maaser, miklad de inu peligia filu be Hekdesh. Since Rabbi says, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer, regard if it's Hekdesh, that it's redeemed even just with the principal amount, it means if you ask Rabbi Eliezer himself, he would say, I agree even regarding Maaser. It is in fact what Rabbi Eliezer said in the previous Baraita, that for Maaser Sheni also, once you redeem the principal amount, that's it, you can eat the produce. That is definitely what they say. And from the fact that Rabbi said, I agree with Chachamim regarding Maaser, it means that if you asked Rabbi, the Chachamim themselves, they would say that they disagree in all cases, even in Hekdesh. Even, in other words, even in Hekdesh, I made this thing Hekdesh, I redeemed only the principal amount, gave that to the temple treasurer, I still cannot use the item, I still have not redeemed the item, it's still holy. So you see that there is in fact a machloket even regarding Hekdesh, right? And so that's what we're wondering, because Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, everybody agrees regarding Hekdesh that the principal is enough, because the temple treasurer will come and get it. But that's not true. We see here that Chachamim disagree in all cases. And they say even for Hekdesh, it doesn't work. Ela it mar hachi it mar, amar Rabbi Yochanan, hakom odim b'shabbat b'hekdesh shechilel, chadad ikhti v'karata la shabbat oneg, ve'od o'il v'gizbarin tobin oto bashuk. Rather, if Rabbi Yochanan said such a statement, it must be said it as follows. We have to add a word. Everybody agrees that if it's Shabbat, and Hekdesh, and it was, and he redeemed only the principal amount, then that in that case is permitted. Because why is it permitted in that case? Because now you have two reasons to permit it. Number one, it's Shabbat, and Shabbat is Oneg, so we want to give the person the ability to celebrate Shabbat. He's not going to be able to redeem the surcharge, to give the surcharge on Shabbat, so let him enjoy Shabbat. And furthermore, since it's Hekdesh, the temple treasurer has a record of it, and they will come and get him in the marketplace and say, oh, you owe us that surcharge. So there's no chance that he will be negligent. So if you have both of these factors, then everybody agrees, Chachamim agree, that the redemption is fine. In other words, according to the letter of the law, everyone agrees that as long as you redeem the principal amount, the redemption works, and the surcharge is not necessary for consuming, eating, using the original item. The machloket here is, however, if it's not Shabbat and you have only one reason, that the temple treasurer, they'll take care of it. Rabbi Eliezer said that's enough, so that you don't have to worry, a person will be negligent. However, Chachamim said still it's chol, so just give the extra surcharge now. We don't want people doing that. But if it's also Shabbat, then everybody would agree, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Now that we've made some distinction between the principal amount and the surcharge, right, the principal amount is absolutely necessary to make the rest chulin, but the surcharge is not from the letter of the law. Now we'll ask about other possible differences between them. Amar Ami Bar Chama, Hare Amru Hekdesh Eno Mitchalel Al HaKarka, Rachamana Amar V'Natana Kesef V'Kam Lo. Chumsho Mahu Shitchalel Al HaKarka. If someone donates their field and then they want to redeem it, they have to do so with money. They cannot do so with other land. You can't take other land and say, here, Bet HaMikdash, take that land, and I'm going to use that to redeem this other land that I gave. No, you cannot do so, because the Pasuk says that he will give the money, and then he can establish the land back to his own ownership. So that's true for the principal amount. But what about the one-fifth surcharge? For that, can he use the land and say, listen, here's cash for the value of the land, and the fifth surcharge, use that other land that I'll give to the Beit HaMikdash for the surcharge payment? That's question number one. Question number two, the Avrami Bar Chama, Tiruma, Ena Mishtalemet Ela Minachulin, Drachmana Mavinatan Nakwen Eta Kodesh, Dabar Haraui Liot Kodesh, Chumsha Maoshishtalem Shelo Minachulin. If a non-Kohen partakes of Tiruma, he's not allowed to do that, and he has to pay for the terumah that he took. He has to give, if he ate a pound of terumah olives, he has to give the kohen a pound of olives, and when he gives it, he has to give cholin. He can't give terumah olives, because that he has to give to the kohen anyway. So that's no penalty. He has to give cholin, which is also more expensive cholin food than terumah food. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Give to the kohen that which is sacred," and we interpret that to mean that which is fit to become sacred. It's not sacred yet, but it could become sacred. That means it's because it's cholin. Fine, that's true for the principle. But what about for the extra fifth? Can he, for the extra fifth that he has to give to the kohen, can he give that from terumah, or does that also have to be from cholin? Third question: Maaser en mitchalel ala asimon. The Rachamana mavesarta hakesef biyadecha. The Rabot called Rabbi Shiesh alav sura. Chumshoma shitchalel asimon. Maaser sheni that I live far away and I'm going to take that produce and redeem it with money. So we learned already that you have to use a coin with a stamp on it. You cannot use an asimon, meaning just a metal slab that's not printed, that's not minted. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Sarta hakesef biyadecha." Literally, you shall bind up the money in your hand and bring it to Jerusalem. But we take the word sarta from the word surah, only if it has a printed a mint on it, then you can use it. But in asimon, you cannot use for matavadim ma'aser sheni. Now that's definitely true for the principal amount, but what about the 1/5 surcharge? Is that an essential part of the payment and also has the same restrictions? Or maybe for the surcharge, I can use an asimon that's worth 1/5 of the amount. Okay, those are the three questions of Rami Bar Chama, who was famous for asking these types of theoretical questions. Itgalgel miletau mata lekame derava. So everybody was discussing it, and the question went round and round till it got to Rava, the colleague of Rami Bar Chama, both students of Rav Chista, both married to his daughter. Amar lehu, amar keda alav. So Rava said, I know the answer. The pasuk says, "V'yasaf chamishito alav." You have to add the fifth upon it. Upon it means in the same way. However you pay the principal, so too you have to pay the fifth. And therefore, that answers the questions. Yes, the fifth has to be also from land, and has to be from chulin, and has to have a coin with a face on it. Ravina says, I have a braita that proves the same thing. From a thief, someone who steals terumah, but he didn't eat the terumah, and now he's caught and he's going to pay back. He can give back that original pound of olives that he stole, and he has to pay double. Now, when he pays double, how does he evaluate the amount? It's going to be the amount on the terumah market, right? How much terumah? Terumah olives are worth less because there are a smaller customer base. So even if it's a pound of olives that would be worth $100, if they were chulin, maybe they're worth only $80. So he has to give back those olives plus $80 for the kefil. However, if the ganav ate it and he's not a kohen himself, so now he's subject to two penalties, that of the double because he stole it, and also of the fifth because he ate terumah, unauthorized. So in that case, he has to pay two principals plus the fifth. But you evaluate them differently. The principal plus a fifth has to be from chulin. That's talking about just like any person who, not a thief, who goes ahead and eats terumah and he's not a kohen, he has to pay back the main principal plus a fifth from chulin. Here's his proof, right? Here's Ravina's proof that the fifth surcharge has to be paid in the same way as the principal. And in addition, this guy, because he also stole, he has to pay a second principal, but that he can pay from terumah, as we said before. Let's say he didn't eat it. He gives back the original olives, and he gives back the double of the value of terumah, which is only 80, not a full 100. And so that's the law of a thief. So we see from here a proof from a Baraita for the same opinion that Rava said. He brought a pasuk for it, that the fifth payment, Shema Mina, Chum Shokim Oto Shema Mina, has to be the same as the payment for the principal, and that is a conclusive proof. Amar Rava, Gabe Gezel Ketiv Vachamishitav Yosef Alav Utnan Vnatan lo etakere Vinishbat lo alachomesh Areze Mosif Homesh alchomesh Achit Maeta Keren Pachot Mishave Piruta. Rava is adding a new issue regarding paying a fifth of a fifth and so on. So we know that this principle regarding a thief who lies. Someone, let's say you gave me a deposit. And then you come to collect it, and I say, no, I don't have this deposit. I don't have your item. I don't know what you're talking about. And I swear falsely that I don't have the item that you gave me. Well, in the end, once I'm caught and I admit that, in fact, I did have it, so then I have to bring a korban asham, and I have to pay you back the amount of that deposit, plus I have to add a fifth. So in that pasuk, it says, v'chamishitav Yosef alav, in a plural way, chamishitav, many fifths. And the Mishnah says, we learned this Mishnah back in Baba Kama, that it came up many times, that he has to give the principal, and so let's say he gave the principal, and then he swore falsely about the fifth. Let's say the principal was $16, right? So I got 16, I lied, I said, no, I don't have this item that's worth $16. Turns out I'm lying. Okay, now I have to pay you 16 plus a fifth, means another 4, so I owe you 20. So let's say I give you the 16, and now the rest of it, I lie. And I say, oh, I paid you all 20, I paid you the $4 also. But then it turns out I'm lying, and so now I admit to the fact, oh, you know what, I really owed you that 4, so, and I took a false swear on the 4. Now I have to pay back the 4 plus a fifth of the 4, which is another $1. So then I'm going to have to pay that $1. And let's say that happens again, right? Then I pay you the 4, but I deny about the $1. I paid you the dollar, but really I didn't pay it, and I swear falsely about it, and then I come and admit it. So now I have to pay you $1 plus another quarter, right? And you could keep going. If I then give you the dollar and lie and say I didn't give you the quarter, and I'm found out, then I'm going to have to pay, and it keeps going a fifth of a fifth all the way down till it's less than a value of a piruta. Once it's less than a value of piruta, then the law ends. Now, Rava teaches that this law of a fifth of the fifth also applies to Tiruma, Gabe Tiruma Ketiv. Ishki Yochal, Kodesh Bishka Gav Yasav Chamishito Alav. If a non Kohen eats Kodesh by mistake, and then he has to add one fifth to it, Kodesh meaning Tiruma. He has to pay back to the Kohen, as we said before, from Chulin. Utnan, Ha'ochel Tiruma Beshogeg, Meshalem Keren Vechomesh. Echad Ochel Vechad Ashoteh Vechad Asach. Echad Tiruma Teora Vechad Tiruma Temea, Meshalem Chumsha Vechumsha Dechumsha. A Mishnah Masechet Tirumot says, someone who consumes Tiruma by mistake, he has to pay the principal and he has to add a surcharge one fifth. And that is true whether he eats it or drinks it, or let's say it's oil of tiruma and he uses it and puts it on his skin. And it doesn't matter whether the tiruma is tahor, in which case the Kohen can eat it, or even if it's the tiruma is tameh, in which case the Kohen cannot eat it, but the Kohen could still use it. He could burn it for light. In all these cases, he has to pay one fifth surcharge, and also he has to pay a fifth of a fifth. In other words, let's say he's supposed to pay he steals $16 worth of tiruma, or he consumes $16 worth of tiruma, and now he has to pay back 20. He pays back the 16, but of the 4 surcharge, he uses that for himself. Now he has to pay a surcharge on that, and it keeps going forever. Ve'ilu gabe ma'aser lo kemichtav ketib. Vela mitna tena, vela aboe iba ialan. But Rava continues, I know regarding stealing, when you swear falsely, and tiruma, that you have a fifth and a fifth of a fifth and it keeps going. But regarding ma'aser sheni, if someone redeemed a ma'aser, let's say $16 worth of ma'aser sheni fruit onto $16 of coins, and so he has to also add a fifth, so it would be $20 of coins. And then he's going to take that four and redeem it again, redeem it onto something else. Does he have to add a fifth and keep adding a fifth as long as he is moving the Kodesh from one thing to another? Or is it only one? Well, it doesn't say anything in the Pasuk about it. There's no Mishnah about it. No one even ever brought this up by the Amoraim. And therefore, Rava concludes that it does not apply to Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni, only when you go from the original produce to the coins, then you have to add a fifth. But if you're doing secondary redemption conditions after that, you do not have to add a fifth. So these three cases we know, Gezel and Terumah, you do have a fifth of a fifth. Maaseh Sheni, you do not have a fifth of a fifth. Now here's his question. Regarding Hekdesh, if someone makes something holy, consecrated to the Bet HaMikdash, and now he's going to redeem his house, he makes his house holy, and now he's going to redeem it, he has to add one-fifth, V'yasaf chamishit kesef erkecha. The Mishnah says about this, Hapodeh, Utnan hapodet hekdesho mosiv homesh. If someone's going to redeem something made hekdesh, he has to add a fifth. Chumsha tenan, chumsha de chumsha la tenan, mai. Now it says here in the Mishnah, one fifth, but it doesn't say a fifth of a fifth. So what's the law regarding hekdesh? Gabe teruma ketib ve yasaf. Gabe kodesh nami ketib ve yasaf. So maybe we could learn it from a gezerah shava. It says the word ve yasaf right over here regarding hekdesh. It also said ve yasaf regarding teruma. And so maybe we'll make a gezer hashava. Just like for Tiruma, yes, you have to pay a fifth of a fifth. So too for Hekdesh, you have to pay for a fifth of a fifth. That's one possibility. Or dima gebet Tiruma keti ve'yasaf, I shakat le levav de ve'yasaf, ve'shadit le al chamishito havale chamishitav. Or maybe it's not the same. How does the derasha, how does the word ve'yasaf come to mean anything regarding Tiruma? We use a methodology called gorin u'mosifin ve'dorshin, in which we can remove a letter from the beginning or end of one word and add it to the beginning or end of a different word, and you can then make a derasha and learn something from it. So regarding Terumah, it says ve'yasaf. You have an extra vav over there, and take off that vav and put it at the end of chamishito so that it reads chamishitav. Now really chamishitav is yod vav, but you can, if you had two vavs there, you'd read it chamishit vav. So you read that quickly, chamishitav. Anyway, the point is that it becomes a plural, so that's many fifths. That's regarding teruma. Hagabe hekdesh ketiv yasaf chamishit. But look at the pasuk regarding hekdesh. You see, it says ve'im hamakdish yigal et beto v'yasaf chamishit. So you do have the word v'yasaf. That's the same, but it doesn't have chamishito. It only has chamishit. So even if you would move the vav to the end, afagav dechi shakalt le levav de v'yasaf v'shadit le al chamishit sof sof havale chamishito, all you would get if you move the vav to the end of chamishit is chamishito, which is still singular. It means only one fifth. So we cannot derive that regarding hekdesh, there are multiple fifths. So this is all the question, right? So we know regarding two issues, gezel and terumah, that you do have many fifths. Regarding ma'aser, there's no indication anywhere, not at all. So therefore, over there, there's no multiple fifths. But regarding hekdesh, we don't know what the answer is. So we suggest, v'tepukle, davale hekdesh sheni, v'amar b'yosho ben nevi, hekdesh rishon mosif chomesh, al hekdesh sheni, en mosif chomesh. Why can't you derive it from this principle of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who says regarding secondary consecration, if I have something holy and I redeem it for money, so then that already has only second level consecration, and we only add a fifth to the primary holy thing and not to the secondary holy thing. So why don't we learn from there? The rule about this, that since there's no secondary fifth, so that's it. The fifth only applies to the first time that you redeem, but there's no fifth of a fifth. Amar le Rav Papi le Ravina, hachi amar Rava, chomesh ketechilat hekdesh tameh. So the Rav Papi answers, no, we cannot use that, because Rava is telling us that the fifth that you add to the original consecration is like an initial consecration. All right. So, like for example, let's say you had something that was hekdesh. That's level one. That's hekdesh. Now I redeem it for money. Now that money, of the principal amount of the money, is secondary. So for that, if I redeem it again, that's not going to be a fifth. However, the fifth that I added when I redeemed the first level, that has new holiness. That's ketichilat hekdesh. That is like an initial consecration, because it doesn't correspond to any amount of the initial one. So therefore, that's the question. Do we treat that fifth like an initial consecration? And therefore, if I redeem that fifth, I have to add a fifth to the fifth or not. Maya ve'ala. So what's the answer going to be? Amar Rav Tavyumi Mishemed Abaye. Amar Kera. Ve'asaf chamishit kesef erkecha. Makish chomsho le kesef erko. Ma kesef erko mosif chomesh. Af kesef chomsho. Name mosif chomesh. Rav Tavyumi in the name of Abaye says yes. Because the pasuk says you add a fifth onto the valuation, so we say that the fifth is similar to the original valuation. Just like with the original value, the principal, you have to add a fifth when you redeem it. So too, if you're going to redeem that fifth, then you also have to add another fifth. And so we conclude that the answer is yes. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.